Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, Tuesday edition of the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. We're at stevejonesshow.com, and you can also find us on Facebook. Give us a like and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle at stevejonespsu, and our email, stevejones@wkok.com. You can also subscribe to our podcast. We're on Google Play and the Apple Podcast app. Search Steve Jones Show, and we can drop the shows right to your smartphone and tablets. You can listen to them anytime, anywhere, and we also have 3 months of shows archived at stevejonesshow.com. Steve will be in the Sunbury Motors studio in just a moment. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, North 4th Street, Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Got Penn State football conversation later in the show with Donnie Collins, the Scranton Times Tribune, NFL talk with Neil Coulong from the Wire Network, thesteelerswire.com, touchdownwire.com, USA Today. Recap the Steelers' victory last night over the Miami Dolphins. Steelers spotting Miami 14 and then reeling off 27 unanswered points. Well, we stay in the NFL because we are less than an hour away from the trade deadline passing at 4 p.m. Eastern. We've already seen players move so far over the past several weeks, from like Leonard Williams going to the Giants, Michael Bennett to the Cowboys, Mohamed Sanu to the Patriots, Emmanuel Sanders to the Broncos, and Jalen Ramsey to the Rams. According to Denver sources, they have no plans of trading linebacker Von Miller. He will stay put. One of the Jets beat reporters said that the team is thinking about trading running back Le'Veon Bell before today's 4 p.m. deadline, but not enough interest to make a deal at this point. At least that's according to the Jets. The Philadelphia Eagles have gotten in contact with the Denver Broncos about Chris Harris Jr., but the asking price could be too high, but there are at least five other teams inquiring about the Broncos' cornerback, so we'll see if he moves in less than an hour. The Cowboys are among teams that the Jets have reached out to regarding safety Jamal Adams. The Cowboys have had discussions about their second mammoth trade in 2 years with Amari Cooper going from Oakland to Dallas. Miami, how about this? The Dolphins, instead of shoveling players out the door, the Dolphins are going to bring in cornerback Aqib Talib, and they're also going to get a fifth-round pick from the Los Angeles Rams, and in return, a conditional pick. Now, Talib has not been playing. He's been dealing with fractured ribs. He's been on injured reserve. The earliest he can take the field will be League 15 per NFL rules. Talib's in the final year of his deal, about $4.2 million left, so Miami would have to pay that. The Rams free that cash from their books. Miami, by the way, is set to have 14 picks in the 2020 NFL draft. Three of those 20 are first-round picks. People close to Patrick Peterson believe the Cardinals star cornerback will not be traded before the 4 p.m. deadline. And in other NFL news, the winless Cincinnati Bengals are going to make a change of quarterback. They have benched longtime starter Andy Dalton. They're going to go with rookie Ryan Finley. Dalton has thrown for 2,252 yards, 9 touchdown passes, and 8 interceptions this season for the 0-8 Bengals under new head coach Zach Taylor. Cincinnati drafted Finley out of North Carolina State in the 4th round in the 2019 draft. One player from the Washington Redskins that has not taken the field at all during a game or during training camp has been Trent Williams. The Redskins want a first-round pick for Trent Williams, so a team will have to meet their... Yeah, I don't think so either.
They won't get it. Okay, remember, no offense, Roger, but the Redskins are the Redskins.
If there would be one team that would be maybe interested in Williams, it could be Cleveland, but that could be pretty difficult because I just don't see Cleveland giving up a first-round pick. No way.
But the Browns have Baker Mayfield, his greatest quarterback ever. Just ask him. He just needs protection. No?
Wouldn't hurt, right? Wouldn't hurt.
Lay a hand on them, everything else.
Hello. Hello.
Here's Landry.
Hello. You're 2-5. Hello. Come on.
I mean, the Steelers don't quite have the talent in some areas that Cleveland does, and they've won 3 of their last 4 games. Now they get Indianapolis coming in. That's a little different proposition.
They're a really good team.
Yeah, I thought about you last night.
I was waiting for your text. I did not give up the game at 14-0. But
I can imagine Captain Panic was panicked.
I was waiting for him to all right, let's get Duck Dynasty in. It's like,
I'll be honest with you. He didn't play well last night.
No.
Okay, Mason Rudolph did not play well. I'm not so sure. I don't know. I'm no expert. But he didn't quite seem right to me last night. You know,
I know it's been 20. Well, it has been 22 days.
Yeah.
So combine that with the bye the team had. I expected a very, very slow start. No, that's what we got till right before halftime.
Combine that with the injury. That's my issue.
Yeah.
He didn't quite seem right to me last night. Now, maybe it is the 22 days. I don't know. I mean, they got away with it, but, I mean, with that team, for goodness sakes, you can get away with it anytime you want.
Well, and especially during the game, too. They lost.
I told you Fitzpatrick would take a knee. That 4th down play was it.
Oh man! The better half was in the other room watching the game on another TV. She's like, "I gotta go to work in the morning. Can we finish reviewing the play?"
I mean, this is where they're hurting themselves, right? They take too long looking for perfection. Stop it. If you can't figure out after 30 seconds what the deal is, move on. You should know in 30 seconds. Now, sometimes it's the TV people. I mean, sometimes, you know, because, you know, they've got the wrong one up there for you, or they can't call up the angle you need. So I will always give a little, you know, a little leeway on that. But usually when they call up the replay, if you can't tell in 30 seconds, move on. Had enough. Replay thing is... They take too long on that stuff.
You would think with the power and technology and all this, it wouldn't take that long. I mean, how many different angles do they have in New York that we don't get a chance to see on TV, or the people get a chance to see in the stadium on their jumbotrons that they have to figure it out?
Yeah, who knows?
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, Al Riveron, he was in the break room. We have to wait for him to come back into master control. Okay.
Al, you can't make the game perfect. Move on, babe. I mean, seriously. after 30 to 45, let's say 45 seconds, 30 to 45 seconds, you got to be done. Shut the thing off. Move on. I mean, I'm sure the play caller would like to have that last 15 seconds before he tells them what the play is. But they shut off the system at 15 when you're calling plays to the quarterback, right? At 15 seconds, they shut it off.
That's right. The players that wear the helmets with the green stickers on, they get a chance to hear the audio in their heads, in their helmets. Yeah. Why not the same thing in the booth in New York on Park Avenue?
Yeah, at a certain point, got to shut it off, move on. So, I mean, that's how I look at it. I mean, if you can shut off the helmets at 15, perfect. Okay? That means you can shut off the replay at 45. Sorry, you had your shot to look at it. Not there. Move on. Gone. Gone. Done. Instead of all of us sitting there saying, oh, for God's sakes, will you just make a decision and let's move on? I mean, everybody's thinking that. Everybody. Except Brian Flores. All right.
Well, the Steelers continue this three-game homestand. Colts are next, followed by the Rams. They can go 2-1. I'd be happy with 2-1 in the homestand, but 3-0, you definitely would be very happy with that. You just keep tabs with the Ravens, which, by the way, they've got the Sunday night showdown with the Patriots coming up this weekend.
You'll go 1-2. All right, so Connor might not play this week, so.
Yeah, how about that? Last running play he had last night, possible AC joint. They should have Mike Tomlin in his press conference earlier today said that Jalen Samuels will be back next week. So, yeah, you could be going into the Colts game without James Conner and without Benny Snell Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Jalen Samuels and Benny Snell Jr. are not in the same category as James Conner. They just aren't. Yeah. They aren't in the same category. I'll never forget years ago. You were playing the Ravens in the playoffs, and Le'Veon Bell couldn't play because he was hurt. Yeah, it was another one of those, you know, Le'Veon Bell no-shows. And the Suteroni was sitting in that chair. Tried to convince me that the guy replacing Bell was going to do a good job. I said, are you kidding me? I said, if he were that good, why isn't he playing now? It was met with resistance.
Sure.
The logic of who starts seemed to go kind of fly past him a little bit. But he must have been panicked out of his mind last night.
Let's find our conversation between him and I last night here.
Oh, no, I was more thinking about the facts at the end of the month. We'll come back with more in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all
applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
I know you were reviewing your texts last night.
Oh, yeah. Suderoni and I going back and forth. He was like, the beard is picking us apart. This is embarrassing. Are you sure that Mason Rudolph isn't still concussed? Those are first half texts.
Did the second half change?
No, in the second half.
Technically, is he an interim Steelers fan? Because he seems to be interim and everything else.
Sometimes we wonder.
Oh, come on. Is it really this easy?
Some days it is.
With him, it is.
Yeah.
So what do we have on the roundtable Thursday?
We'll have our... Oh, I was going to say we'd have our usual three, but Greg Wetzel currently enjoying a...
In Kissimmee with no golf clubs.
I know. This is a vacay with the grandkids. So how about that? So yeah, well, dining in Disney with the grandkiddos, but he'll be back in time for Friday night's District 4 Triple-A quarterfinal between Lewisburg and Warrior Run, which we'll have live coverage over on 100.9 The Valley. So Greg's color analyst Justin Michaels, he'll be with us in studio. He'll be in studio or on the phone. We'll get that hammered out with Justin. I'll see him tomorrow. We'll get that squared away, and but he'll definitely be part of the roundtable, as well as Zach Showers and the Chief Dave Ritchie.
Understand that the within the building, somebody has abandoned an office.
Yeah, we could be the move to the big corner office could be happening for El Suderoni.
Does this mean like he's our boss or something?
No.
Because I'm not taking orders from him. I don't care what title he has.
No, I mean if you need a reminder every 2 weeks, just look at your check, see who signs the check, and there you go. That's my philosophy. That's easy, right?
And my main man is signing them.
Yes.
So we're good.
We're good.
All right, the second I see his signature is the second that we just say goodbye.
By the way, speaking of high school football playoffs, we did hear earlier today that Bloomsburg, we're now going to District 4 AA for this story. Bloomsburg is forfeiting their game against the Mount Carmel area Red Tornadoes. Bloomsburg was decimated with quite a few injuries. Also, the... earlier this month, the school board decided that a head coaching change was in order. The record was 3-7, so they just thought their best interest would be to not play the game on Friday night. So Mount Carmel will automatically move into the next round. And that's in District 4 AA. Mount Carmel being the number 2 seed behind Southern Columbia.
Who's Southern Columbia playing?
They play Towanda. Good luck to Wanda. May the force be with you.
We're going to need more than the force.
Katie, bar the door.
Could she be our new interim finance director?
It's in the press release. I'll make sure I forward the email to you.
I miss Jamie. All right, so...
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
A lot of you may not realize that the World Series is still going on, man, and based on the TV ratings, you aren't. Boy, the TV ratings for the World Series have not been good. The opening five games have been among the 10 lowest rated World Series games all time. But it still doesn't mean it's not a significant event, because to me it is. I'm one of the people that's been watching it. And and game six is tonight with Justin Verlander and Steven Strasburger. And with that, Jesse Docherty from the Washington Post joins us. Jesse, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Yeah, man. How are you?
Doing all right. The Nationals have used a whopping total of, I think, six pitchers in this series. What have been your thoughts on what Dave Martinez has been able to do really with a short deck?
Yeah, I mean, it was more effective in the last round. They've had to expand a bit in the losses this series, but and we saw against the Dodgers and even against the Cardinals that they were able to sort of piece together 27 outs using the pitchers they could rely on, and it's a dangerous formula, and it's caught up to them a bit in the World Series here, where in some tight games they've had to go to guys like Tanner Rainey or Fernando Rodney or Wander Suero, and the results haven't really been as desired. So obviously it was always a fragile formula that Martinez was working with, and the Astros are a really good team that are able to expose it, but they still have somewhat of a beating pulse here where they can maybe still take this, so it should be interesting.
My exposure to Max Scherzer is just what I see on television, and I'm sensing that you could pick 10 guys in Major League Baseball that no matter what, give me the ball, I'm going out there, it would be him. So you're around it all the time. Was it shocking that he couldn't go in Game 5, or because you've been around him all season, you knew it was always a possibility it could get him at the wrong time?
Yeah, I mean, in the extent that you're saying that he typically takes the ball whenever he's, whenever he physically can, it was surprising, knowing that, he has a history of back of neck spasms, and he even had some, shoulder and back problems this season. They kept him out for 6 weeks. I mean, I think we are seeing the human side of Max Scherzer in a sense. I mean, I think for his entire career, he's been a guy who's thrown 110, 115, 120 pitches, start in and start out, and never been hurt. And that's such a luxury. It's part of, it's part of his lore. It's part of what makes him so great is his, his durability. But he's 35 now. And I think you find that recovering from injury is a little bit different. Dealing with small things like spasms or, cramps is a bigger deal than it was when you were, 30, 31. So I think in what we're seeing now with Scherzer, yes, was I surprised, because, news like this typically comes out of nowhere. But I'm also not surprised in the sense that, he is showing his, he's age soon. And that's obviously allowed. It's fair. And it should be interesting now. We'll know today how his progress is. And, should they make it to 7, if he'll be able to go. But I can promise you he'll be doing everything he can to be ready.
This is also this is a Strasburg game. He's always been, since the day he was drafted, he's always been, quote, the guy. Obviously, it's the biggest start of his career. What have you thought about his postseason demeanor?
He's incredible. It's interesting to me because so it was 10 years ago that he was drafted, and you're mentioning, since then he was, probably the biggest heralded pitching prospect in history, and just everything was put on his shoulders. And over the years, he's been hurt some years, or he hasn't been as good as he should have, or his velocity dipped, and everyone sort of starts, hitting the panic button or saying he didn't exceed expectations or didn't meet them, which frankly, I don't know who possibly could have. All that said, it sometimes takes time to develop. And if this is the fully formed Steven Strasburg right now, he's been one of the best postseason pitchers of all time. And if it takes, 6 years to get to that point, it's interesting how, our propensity, and of course, it's not just fans, it's media as well, is to sort of evaluate everyone in real time and always weigh them against expectations at every single step.
Right.
But the totality of his career now is coming to fruition, and seeing how good he is pretty remarkable. And it does live up to those expectations from the beginning. When you're the best pitcher in a playoff series full of aces, when you're the best pitcher, you know, on a team in a World Series run, like, you did your job. You were worthy of that number one pick 10 years ago. So it's been really cool to sort of see that all come together, and especially knowing that he's had to shoulder a lot of expectation and burden over his career for that, because being that star at 21 years old is hard, and it's been cool to see.
Jesse, when he first came up, his two-seamer was outstanding.
Yeah.
But as time has gone, he's gone less and less and less to the two-seamer. And then all of a sudden, I don't know, last month and a half, boom, he's gone back to it. Has he talked about that as to why he's gone back to it, and how important a pitch has that become for him?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely sets up everything else. I mean, I think for him, he would say fastball command for him is huge. And I think when you become a pitcher that is a little bit more of a quote-unquote pitcher, you're not overpowering with 98, you're not blowing guys away, you start to rely on first pitch curveballs, first pitch changeups, you know, ways to get into counts and sort of surprise hitters, because to get ahead, you can't just say, I'm going to throw this ball really hard and it's going to go by your bat. But then there's the counter adjustment. So hitters start to know that. They start to know that a changeup's coming. They start to know that, you know, maybe a slider or a curveball coming in the zone. That's when Strasburg, you've seen, go back to the sinker and say, I'm going to throw this two seam by you now because you think that off speed's coming, and I'm going to surprise you and handcuff you with something faster. So I think his career now, we're going to see chapters that it's going to be, you know, now players are going to adjust to that, and what will he do next? Now they're going to adjust to that adjustment, and then how will he adjust back? So I think we're just seeing now just all these little micro adjustments stacked on top of another, and he's such a tactician at this point of his career that I don't think that's going to end. As long as he's pitching, he's going to be doing that, and we're going to see little sort of wrinkles pop up in his career.
Well, and what he's throwing it in on the hands, which then sets up the changeup. Fair?
Yeah, which is a devastating pitch. I mean, it's absolutely.
Yeah, and because you're talking, changeups have to be 8 to 9 miles per hour slower. If somebody's throwing a two-seamer, and the arm slot's the same, okay, the arm slot's the same. To me, one pitch sets up the other. I think does that tell us, instead of being a thrower, Steven Strasburg has developed into a really good pitcher and not just a thrower?
Yeah, I think to some extent that's true. I also think that, you know, you can't be a number one pick and the ace of a staff for multiple seasons as a thrower. So even though he had 99 tank, I think he was a pitcher all along. I think now that he doesn't have that overpowering stuff, we see it come out more. And it's almost more impressive because he can live at 93 to 94 with his fastball and still be so successful because he has such good command and has such good, you know, feel for his off speed. But I do think it was in there all along. It just wasn't as prevalent because he could lean on, you know, really good stuff too.
When you watch the Astros up close, what do you see?
Yeah. A really good baseball team.
Yeah.
I mean, I think on paper, we know. I mean, this is one of the juggernauts of all time when they added Zach Greinke to what this group already was. And you just see, again, like from an adjustment standpoint, how these guys just at-bat to at-bat are able to, you know, figure out Patrick Corbin or figure out Max Scherzer or make an adjustment against Anibal Sanchez. It's been really, really kind of cool to watch in a sense, and tough to watch if you're on the national side because, you know, they're falling victim to it. And, I mean, this team just has so many ways to beat you. Their lineup is so deep. And, I mean, I'm just really impressed by everything they do. Obviously, we don't, as a beat writer in the NL, I don't see them a lot. This is the first time in person. But just, you know, the different ways they can beat you, the guys they roll out in their lineup every single at-bat, you know, all the way down to the 7-hole, 8-hole, it's really something to watch.
It's interesting because they don't have a lefty in the bullpen. Yet, on a team that has Altuve, Correa, Gurriel, Springer, Verlander, Cole, Greinke,
Bregman.
Can't leave out Bregman. All right. What does Smith mean out of the bullpen for them?
Yeah, Smith and Harris are the guys that
Smith
I really
Smith and Harris.
By. Yeah, because they can get lefties out. You know, they set up Osuna as the closer. They become even more important because Ryan Presley has not been great. You know, remember, this year Presley went on that scoreless inning streak where he was dominant, probably best reliever in baseball in April and May. And some injuries have sort of sapped him of that dominance, and he's been kind of a middling reliever. So Joe Smith and Will Harris, man, I mean, they've been huge this series, and I've been surprised because the Nationals typically, when they get a second or third look at a guy, can start to piece it together. And they've seen these guys a lot, and they still haven't figured it out, which really is a compliment to the stuff and the approach that Harris and Smith take, because Nationals really are a team that we've seen it through the regular season. We've seen it. You know, if they see a starter for a third time, the fifth and sixth inning, they explode. They see a reliever for a second time later in the series, they explode. They haven't been able to do that in this series. So that speaks a lot to the Astros. Again, preparation, the guys on the mound, and obviously throwing the ball and just kind of the totality of what they do.
And then there's the oddity of the series. The home team has not won a single game.
Yeah.
All said, I want home field advantage. Well, you got it. Can't use it. If the Nationals survive tonight,
yeah. Man,
what do you envision, A, who might start Game 7? And, of course, obviously all hands would be on deck.
Yeah, I would say if I had to guess right now, I'm not really in the guessing business, but I would say Sanchez starts. I didn't get the indication from Scherzer on Sunday that he couldn't move his right arm and couldn't even get out of bed. It'd be a really quick turnaround to start 2 days later. That said, I know he will, like we mentioned, he will do his best to. I would say Sanchez starts. That would probably mean that, if Nationals win tonight and they can stay with minimum relief, that would be really big. The DH really helps them do that because they can push Steven Strasburg as much as they want without having any pinch hit situations coming up. So the American League rules in this case actually really favor the Nationals' pitching plan because it allows them to shorten up their bullpen. And I expect Patrick Corbin in relief tonight potentially, and then your Sean Doolittle and Daniel Hudson in the back end if you're emptying the tank if you have to get to that Game 7. So I would guess the most likely scenario is that Sanchez is starting, which is going to be available for an inning maybe. We'll see. I mean, that's going to be a certain kind of drama if he's still in play and can come out of the bullpen or piggyback on the starter. But, I would describe Game 7 as almost like a wild card game, but a coin flip type thing. You do everything right. You can, managing gets a little funky. It's sort of like funhouse baseball. And once you get to that, anything's possible.
And finally for you, which three guys in the lineup tonight out of the nine that they'll put out there need to do something offensively to jumpstart this team?
Trey Turner, Anthony Rendon, Howie Kendrick.
Those are the three I thought you'd say.
Those are the three?
Yeah, those are the three I thought you'd say. I think Soto's easy, but I think Rendon is a guy that when he goes, I think the confidence goes up. Kendrick has been there before, and Turner sets the table. Those are the three I would have said.
Right. So. Yep, I totally agree. Table setting, it's Rendon is the main guy, the MVP in that order, and then Kendrick, we saw the effect he had in the LCS. And,
yeah.
When his bat's cold, you can feel it, because he's in that RBI spot where if those guys get on for him, he needs to knock him in.
Right, and for Rendon, okay, that bench knows who their star is. He's been their star all year. It's amazing when the star does something, boom, it lifts everybody up like you feel there's a sense of normalcy again.
Absolutely. I agree.
Jesse, thanks so much. Appreciate it very much.
Of course, man. Yep, anytime.
Jesse Docherty from the Washington Post. Did you know the suit that subscribes to the Washington Post?
Really? How about that?
It loves the comics. We'll come back with more in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Neil Kulong, next half hour. Steelers won last night in a game that wasn't pretty. There are deals that have been made. The Rams cleared cap space. Keeb Tlaib, who's been hurt, has been dealt to the Miami Dolphins. Let's see. Going through. There's been some big names mentioned here, but they haven't been dealt yet. But Aqib Talib and Kenyon Drake did go to the Cardinals. So the Dolphins get Aqib Talib and a fifth-round pick from the Rams for a conditional pick. Talib cannot play again until week 15. Let's see. Looks like Patrick Peterson's going to stay with the Cardinals. The Redskins won a first-round pick for Trent Williams, which I don't blame them. They may have to settle for a second, though. And
kind of waiting for the Eagles to see if they were going to pull the trigger to get a cornerback in. names that have been kicked around, Harris in Denver and Darius Slay in Detroit. But the fly in the ointment there is just what the Lions want in return to finish the dance.
Well, it used to be if you covered the NFL, like if you covered the NBA trade deadline, man, you are working. The NFL, no. Until the last couple of years. This year has been the wildest I've ever seen with guys being traded. Wild. So that's the story there. We're just playing the waiting game on NFL trades. And the NCAA, now the NCAA says that it's going to allow athletes to earn money from name, image, and likeness. But they have not set down any rules yet. And this is going to take a while. They can say that we're going to do it, but it's how you implement it are two different things. And I think that becomes an issue. And Andy Dalton, by the way, has been benched by the Bengals. Ryan Finley gets the start. So there you are. Andy Dalton, who for years has been... you've had people who have gone after him a bit. Well, he's no longer the starter in Cincinnati. Ryan Finley will be the starter. So essentially what they've done with name, image, and likeness is the NCAA says, yes, we're going to do it. Now you have to negotiate the terms of it. And there are several items in here where they're trying to do whatever they can to maintain as much of the model as possible without crossing over into professionalism. The NCAA has caused this themselves. I'm going to go back more than 30 years. You know Steve Alford as a coach, many of you, whether it's Indiana, New Mexico, UCLA. But Steve Alford was a heck of a basketball player at Indiana. Even though Keith Smart hit the game-winning jumper to beat Syracuse for the NCAA title, Alford was the best player on that team. Alford posed for a calendar. I think it was a sorority that asked him to do this for charity. For charity. So he did it. He didn't think twice about it. It's for charity. He wasn't getting any money. The NCAA suspended him for a game. This is like 1987. You see stuff like that. I remember when it happens, like looking around, like, what are you doing? You don't do that. It's for charity. You benefit from that. That's when I first started looking at the NCAA saying, look, there's no common sense there. The EA Sports thing, how many times did I talk about that before the O'Bannon trial? And how many times when the O'Bannon trial came up, I said, they're in trouble here. They're going to lose. Over and over and over again. Then Mark Emmert testified and they knew they were going to lose. Because he wouldn't explain where the money went. If you explain where the money goes, you can then have a viable conversation. But he kept talking about the ideals of the student athlete and students in college. And like, the jury's like going, okay, tell me when he's done. Now, if you give them a trail, the money goes into men's soccer. The money goes into women's soccer. Money goes into women's volleyball. The money goes into men's volleyball. You start giving a trail as to where it goes and how many different people benefit from the money. Now you can have a jury saying, oh, okay, now I can see the roadmap. Here's what you're trying to do. And they won't do it. They made that deal with EA Sports, and the athletes got nothing. And in the EA Sports game, I mean, you've played it, right? You've played it?
I've never played it. No.
I never have.
No, me neither.
I never have. But my kids had it. And I looked at it one day and says, man, you know exactly who it is. Now, when you talk to the players about it, they go, hey, look, I'm in the game. They thought it was cool. They didn't think about money. Well, that's not how today's athlete thinks. You're in the game. You want the cash. Neil Coulong, next half hour, we'll talk about the Steelers' win last night over the Dolphins and also about the NFL trading deadline. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.